الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد All praise, gratitude and adorations are due to Allah. May His peace and blessings be upon the noble of all prophets, Abu Qasim, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the permission of Allah, the honors of this recording lies on Abu Abdullah Sharafuddin Ibrahim. This golden translation and explanation of the book, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya wal-Khasakhis al-Mustafawiyya, was done by our Sheikh al-Muhaddith Abu Nasir Ibrahim Abdurrahuf Hafizahullah. We ask Allah to elongate the life of Sheikh Ibrahim Abdurrahuf Abu Nasir upon goodness. May Allah preserve him in the process of illuminating the world with the light of Kitab wa Sunnah. Amin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Billahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد Today is the first يوم الأحد in the month of Muharram in this year 1432 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم 1432 years after he, alayhi salatu wasalam, migrated from Makkah to Medina. So today is the first Yawm al-Ahad after that hijrah in that year. And as we said before, we went on recess in the month of Hajj. And a month before it, because the month of Hajj are Shawwal and Dhul-Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. These are the months of Hajj. Don't be surprised why we are mentioning months of Hajj, because many things are connected to those months. If somebody is performing Hajj Tamattu, that is Hajj and Umrah, that is he performs Umrah and then he wakes and performs Hajj. If that Umrah is not Umrah that is performed in the month of Hajj, the Hajj is not considered as Tamattu. The Umrah that is connected to Hajj Tamattu is the Umrah that is performed in the month of Hajj, not the Umrah in the month of Ramadan that people perform. So many rulings are connected to knowing these periods. These months of Hajj, the month of Shawwal and Dhul-Qa'dah, and the first periods of Dhul-Hijjah as mentioned. So that was why we said we went on recess in the period in the month of Hajj and a month before, because Ramadan is not from the month of Hajj. So Ramadan is the month for Ramadan. That is, Ramadan by its name as a month is the month of Ramadan, that is fasting in the month of Ramadan. The two is possible. You can refer to Ramadan as its month, and you can also refer to Ramadan as referring to the fasting in the month of Ramadan. So we were on recess in Ramadan and the month of Hajj. And before we went on the recess, we promised to, inshallah, when we come back, as Allah has given us the opportunity now, that we will read the book Ash-Shamail Al-Muhammadiyah by Al-Imam Abu Isa Muhammad ibn Isa in the Surah At-Tirmidhi Rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of Islam ever, Imam At-Tirmidhi, a student of Imam Bukhari, and is popularly also called Sahib al-Sunnah or Sahib al-Kitab al-Sunnah. Yeah, it's referring to Sunan al-Tirmidhi. So we promise to read the book, inshallah, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah. Sometimes it is added to it also, Wal-Khasa'is al-Mustafawiyah, when they mention Ash-Shama'il. So they will say Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah wal-Khasa'is al-Mustafawiyah. So we promise to read this book, inshallah. This book, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, is talking about Shama'il, but of the Prophet Muhammad. And Shama'il refers to issues of akhlaq, issues of character. Says alayhi salatu wasalam, innama bu'istu li utammima salih al-akhlaq. In another riwayah said makarim, salih al-akhlaq. I've not been raised, or the summary of what for which I was raised is to perfect character, is to perfect nice character. So from his akhlaq is what is contained in Ash-Shama'il, akhlaq of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that which Allah described for us in the Quran and said, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim." Certainly, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are upon a high level character. Your character is of the high level, khuluqin azim, great level of character, alayhi salatu wasallam. So we want to learn from this character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also from the issues of Ash-Shama'il is Adab al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. His Adab, how he eats alayhi salatu wasalam, how he sleeps alayhi salatu wasalam, how he wears his clothes alayhi salatu wasalam. Was he always wearing rings alayhi salatu wasalam? If he wore rings, where will he wear it? How was his ring alayhi salatu wasalam? So these things, these issues of Adab, are from Ash-Shama'il, issues of Shama'il. Also from the issues of Shama'il are the things regarding his person, alayhi salatu wasalam. His khalq, what Allah is khulq. We talked about khulq, akhlaq. And then his khalq, how Allah has created him, alayhi salatu wasalam. How is the hair of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam? How is his eyes, alayhi salatu wasalam? His nose, his chest. Is he a broad-chested person? Is he a slim person? Is he a tall person? Alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, how does he walk? Alayhi salatu wasalam. When he's walking, movement, how is it? How does he do it? Alayhi salatu wasalam. When he sits, how does he sit? His jilsa, how does he sit? How does the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sit when he sits? How does he laugh? And how does he cry when he cries? How does he joke with the people? So these are the issues of Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah that we intend to read. And that is after we have read from Aqidah. And the book we read was Usul Sunnah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Al-Shaybani alayhi rahmatullah. In that, we tried to explain to us what we owe our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of belief, what we must believe as Muslims, not only as Muslims, as people upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not every Muslim that is upon the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he started the book, he started with Sunnah. He didn't say Islam. He says Usulu Sunnati Indana. Aha. He didn't say Usulul Islam. He didn't say Qawaidul Islam. He said Usulu Sunnati Indana. Atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu. So the foundations of Sunnah is to be upon, holding firmly to what the companions were upon. He's talking about Sunnah, he's talking about companions. First, even before talking about Sahib Sunnah himself. Of course, because we would not have known the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except with the companions. And that was why abusing the companions is very, very annoying to the people of the Sunnah. Imam Abu Dhurra al-Razi, Fubaydullah ibn Abdul Karim, he said, those who abuse the companions, they want to make isqat of our shuhud. They want to destroy our witnesses. Because those who witness the wahyu are the companions. So once you finish them, you have finished our message. So those issues of aqidah that we try to explain are the things we owe our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the book did not also only contain the matters of aqidah. It also contained issues of manhaj. Because many of the people actually left the path of sunnah from issues of manhaj. It is manhajiyah and error connected to manhajiyat that led them away from the path of sunnah. Issues of takfir, issues of believing in Nuzul Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, many of these issues. Issues of obedience to leaders, issues of giving zakat to them and all that. Many of the people went away from the path of sunnah because they did not make i'tina with issues of manhaj. So they went away from the issues of manhaj and then they went to contradict the issues of aqidah at the end of the day. So Sulu Sunnah contained explanations on that. Thereafter we read the book of Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Din al-Nawawi, Abu Zakariya rahimahullah al-Dimashqi, Al-Arba'un. The book is popular as Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. That is the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. We should not forget that those ahadith are 43 in number. But he referred to them as 40 to mention the nearest 10. We explained all these and issues that are similar to that, like the issues of the age of the Prophet Muhammad. It is part of what we'll read in Shama'il. In Shama'il, we'll discuss the age of the Prophet. At what age did he die, alayhi salam? How was his death and all of this? So we read Al-Arba'un by Al-Imam al-Nawawi. And as he said, rahimahullah, he said, كُلُّ حَدِيثٍ مِّنْهَا قَائِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِّنْ قَوَائِدِ الدِّينِ. He said, every hadith in the Arba'un, we had read this before. He said, it is قَائِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِّنْ قَوَائِدِ الدِّينِ. They are great foundations from the foundations of Islam, from the foundations of the deen. Every hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, is connected to every action the Muslim does. Whether the action is qalbiyyah, something that has to do with the heart, or something that has to do with the limb. It is having to do with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The same thing the hadith that follows, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسْكُ. La, the hadith of Umar and his son Abdullah ibn Umar. That بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله. Look at that hadith. It describes all of Islam. And at the end of that hadith, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. It talks about deen. It talks about Islam. It talks about Iman. It talks about Ihsan. So the one that follows the hadith of Ibn Umar, Ko Buni al Islam ala khams. It now makes us understand that this first hadith of Ibn Umar and his father, Bainama Nahnu Julusun, is only talking about the qawaid, the foundations of Islam. They say Buni al Islam ala khams. And then the hadith that follows, hadith al-Sadiq al-Masduq. Hadith al-Sadiq wal-Masduq. The hadith of the one who is ever truthful, alayhi salatu wasalam, and who is believed. And all of these are hadith. Each of them, like he said, alayhi rahmatullah, is qa'idatun azimatun min qawa'id al-deen. Each of them is connected to foundations, or it's in itself foundations. The rulings you get from it are foundations. From the foundations of Islam. So we looked at these ahadith. So inshallah we'll follow that up with looking at the person of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two things are important in looking at issues of Ash-Shamay of the Prophet Muhammad. The first one is Umirna the annu'mina bihi. We have been ordered to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says fa'aminu billahi wa rasulihi wan nuri alladhi anzalna. Fa'aminu billahi wa rasulihi. Believe in Allah and his messenger. So we are ordered to believe in Allah. And then we are ordered to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think there is a similar verse in Surah Al-Hadid. Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa anfiqu mimma ja'alnakum mustakhlifina fihi. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend from what over which we have made you custodians. We have made you representatives. Mustakhlif. We made you to be supervisors of it. So our wealth, we are only supervising it. He says, believe in Allah and His Messenger. So we are told to believe in Allah. So from the perfection of belief, as has been mentioned by one of the muhakkikun of this, one of these books of Ash-Shamay, he said, from the reasons why he took to do a tahqiq of his copy of Ash-Shamail al-Muhammadiyya, that he named Akhlaqun Nabi. He named it Akhlaqun Nabi after his own tahqiq and sharh. He said that is because we have been ordered to believe in the Prophet Muhammad. And believing in him is knowing him and knowing his person, knowing what he did, knowing his behavior, knowing his character, knowing it will aid our belief in him. And it is actually in itself from belief in him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are reading from Ash-Shamay because we have been told to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So from believing in him is knowing him. Many, it's the same thing. From believing in Allah is to know Allah. We must know the Allah we believe. So in many places in the Quran, Allah will tell us about himself. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. He starts telling us about himself. So we have to know about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the things also, or the second issue that makes us like to read about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner is the fact that umirna bi an nattabi'ahu. We have been ordered to follow him. We have been ordered to emulate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you cannot emulate somebody whose character you don't know. How do you emulate a person's character? You don't know the person. If you tell a Christian now, emulate Jesus, what will he emulate? According to their scriptures in the Bible, follow the footsteps of Jesus. How? La hidayat alahu. They don't have guidance. Why he say follow the Prophet? The Prophet Allah was telling us follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are two words, and these two words are different, but we usually use them to mean the same thing, but they are different. In some places, Allah will order us to make ta'a of Rasul. It says, wa in tuti'uhu tahtadu. Here, ta'a is talking about obedience. It is ittiba, that is what? Following. And you obey others. If you are told, do so and so. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli now. So what you do is what? Ta'a. So, but if you make ittiba is at-ta'ati. He is doing something and you are doing it as he is doing it. He says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْكِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعَ الرَّسُولِ. So as the Rasul alayhi salatu salam changed the Qibla, we want to see those who will change as he changed. So the two must follow. We must follow his orders, and then we must emulate his character. We must obey his orders, and then we must follow his character, emulating him. There are two different things. One is talking about what he says, and the other is talking about what he practices, doing after what he did. That is ittiba. But ta'a is obeying, bringing into operation what he orders, alayhi salatu wasalam. So these two things we are ordered to do it for the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And the verses that talks about these two things are very many in the Quran. Some say 30, some say Allahu a'lam. Where Allah has ordered us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the Prophet Muhammad. In some other places, to make ittiba, to make ittiba, and in some other places, to make ta'a of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And that was what the companions did. Radiallahu alayhi. The companions followed the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi. So for these two reasons, the companions too were recording the life of the Prophet Muhammad. They were recording it in three ways. They were recording it in their character. They were following it in their character. Radiallahu anhu. Two, they were memorizing them. And three, they were writing them down. Three different ways they preserved the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. They were writing them. People like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As were writing, including Ibn Abbas, he had writings. Many of the companions had writings, radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he was writing. So, some were writing and also memorizing, like also Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. He was writing, was memorizing. And then, all of them were writing, were following what he did. They are not known to be people who, when the Prophet did something, they would do the opposite. When the Prophet did something, they would do the opposite. And they were not used to asking him, is this one obligatory or not? Do I have to do so and so or not? Except when it was a situation where they had to do so because of the difficulty of the situation. One case came to the mind, the case of Barira. When Barira became freed from Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, if a slave woman becomes free, she has a choice to choose to remain with the husband or get divorced, get separated from the husband. And by the fact that she's freed, the marriage is dissolved. So it is after she resolves to go back to him that she goes back to him. So Barira was freed from the husband, who was also a slave at the time. Radiallahu anha, she used to move on the streets. And the husband, who was now having a dissolved marriage with her, would be crying and following her about him, begging her to please marry me. Please marry me. Such that people had to tell the Prophet ﷺ, intervene in this matter. Look at how Barira is crying about the streets of Medina. Look at how the husband is crying about following Barira on the streets of Medina. No. Telling her, please marry me, please marry me, please. If we see one brother doing that now, we'll say something. But that was how their sincerity was. They were sincere people. They were not... You know, it happens to male and females. A woman wants to marry a man, she does not know how to go about it. So she will be suffering it there like that. A man who wants to marry a woman, he does not know how to drive. He's not saying it like that. So the husband was making it clear that I want her back. So people like Abbas radiallahu anhuma, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Abbas Ibn Abdul Muttalib, the father of Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, came to intervene with the Prophet to talk to Bagheera. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. So the Prophet called Bagheera and said, oh, why not go back to this? Are you ordering me to go back? So it's not an order, it's just encouragement. I don't want him. So people used to say, look at what love has done to the husband of Bagheera. He's crying about following her. She didn't marry him. So in cases like this, they have a choice. But in terms of following the Prophet Muhammad, they will not stop him and start asking, is this one wajib or not? Let's read one hadith. This hadith is usually very, very captivating. We know how the Prophet was considered and taken very important by the companion. It's a very lengthy hadith reported by Imam Muslim in Kitab al-Hajj. The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Shaykh al-Imam al-Allama, Shaykh al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah, has written a whole book on that hadith. He called it Sifatu Hajjati Nabi. Just like he had Sifatu Salati Nabi. He had Sifatu Hajjati Nabi. How the Prophet performed Hajj, alayhi salam. Very like one hadith. One hadith. And he opened it, bringing in Asani, bringing in Alfaz, bringing in Ziyadat. Rahimahullah. In that hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, he says, فَخَرَجْنَا مَأَهُ. So we went out with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were all in Medina. When it was a few days before the day the Prophet went for Hajj, he told the people they should invite people to come to Medina. The Prophet wants to, alayhi salatu wasalam, perform Hajj. Come and see how he will perform Hajj and perform Hajj with him too. So people trooped into Medina. It was said to be on a Saturday, almost Sabt, that they set out. So on the khutbah, on the day of Jummah, he was talking, that Jummah preceding that Saturday, he was addressing the people, encouraging them, educating them about the Hajj, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when people go for Hajj, they have to be educated. Even when we find out, Allah understand that when people go to Hajj, they do what they like, including those people who are supposed to educate them. So Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, فَخَرَجْنَا مَعَهُ. So we went out to the Prophet Muhammad مَعَنَا النِّسَاءُ وَالْوِرْدَانُ. We had women amongst us. We had children amongst us. Very lengthy hadith, like I said. And he said when they got to Zul Hulaifa, the wife of Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, Asma, gave birth to the child, one of his children. And look at, she did not say, oh, we know how to handle nifas. When you are in nifas, you know, in Zul Hulaifa, the pilgrim has two rakats to make. People think that those two rakats are connected to ihram. But the two rakats are not connected to ihram. They are connected to Zul Hulaifa itself. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a messenger came to him from his Lord who ordered him to perform two rakats because he's on a wadun mubarak. He's in a valley that is blessed. So he performed those two rakats after he entered ihram because of the valley. Not because everyone who goes into ihram should perform two rakats. So he performed two rakats, and then the issue of Asma came up, that she gave birth to a baby. So she was bleeding, postnatal bleeding. So instead of acting upon what she knew about the rulings on nifas, that the woman in nifas does not perform salah, she does not take her bath. Bath for what? The bath for what? So that's why you see this deen is not based on what you opine, it's based on the text of hadith and Quran. So she sent somebody to ask the Prophet, What am I going to do? So the Prophet ﷺ told her to make ghusl and then tie up herself. Ghusl. A woman in postnatal bleeding is told to make ghusl because that is what that condition of Hajj demands. But she wouldn't have known that if she had relied on, oh, we know how to handle nifas. Yes, she was asking the Prophet Muhammad. This is Hajj now. What should I do? So that is evidence that a woman who is in menstruation or postnatal bleeding, when she is at the miqat, even when Nigeria is creating another miqat now in Jeddah, this requires being mentioned. Many pilgrims who go to Hajj now, they cross the miqat before they go on their ihram. They have obstructed, they have contradicted something that is obligatory, and it is seen to be. Some of the ulama say they have to slaughter a ram. Some say they will not slaughter a ram. That appears most correct to me, inshallah, because of the hadith on it. Hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari. If you read Al-Wajiz, it's inside it. So some of the scholars say that they do not need to slaughter a ram. Some say they have to slaughter a ram. But they are all agreed upon the fact that it's a sin because they crossed the miqat before they go on ihram. So she asked the Prophet ﷺ what she needed to do, and the Prophet told her, alayhi salatu wasalam, that she has to go on ihram. So that is evidence that a menstruating woman or a woman in postnatal bleeding can take her bath and then go on ihram. She will go on the ihram. And if you add that to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, it means that woman will do, because he told alayhi salatu wasalam that if Ali kullama yaf'alul hajj illa tawaf, do everything that the pilgrim does except tawaf. So she will do everything except tawaf. That is for her umrah regarding hajj tamattu. There are a lot of rulings concerning that, but that's not where we are going. What we want to employ from mentioning some of that is the fact that she was depending on revelation. She was asking the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what do I do? So for us now, we have to be looking back into the Nusus, into the text of Quran. In every situation, what do I do? What is the Prophet's guidance on this matter? Alayhi salatu wasallam. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ مَدِّ بَصَّرِي. So I looked as far as my eyes could see. بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنْ رَاكِبٍ وَمَاشٍ. And I found that before, in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بَيْنَ رَاكِبٍ وَمَاشٍ. We found people. Some of them were walking on their feet, and some of them were doing what? Riding on their beast of body. So some riders, and some people were shaking on their feet. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah said, this is evidence that you can ride to Hajj. You can ride. You can go on a car. You can go on a beast of body. You can go on an aeroplane, you can go on ship, because there is an opinion amongst the Hanafiya that you have to trek to Hajj, and that trekking to Hajj is better than riding. He said that this hadith shows that there is no difference between the two. There is no afdaliya. It is easy for you. In fact, if trekking will bring, because some people are closer, so you may not completely rule out those who will still have to trek because of the proximity. But if trekking, we have to bring difficulty to you. We start quoting another hadith to you or verse of the Quran. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. We start telling you now, don't bring harm to yourself. So he said, some people were trekking and some people were riding on their beast of burden. He says, وَأَنْ يَمِينِهِ مِسْلَ ذَلِكِ. So he's right, a lot of people. You know, he said, he looked at إِلَىٰ مَدِّ بَصَرِهِ. People were on the right. He says, وَأَنْ يَسَارِهِ مِسْلَ ذَلِكِ. And also to his left, the same thing. He says, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ مِسْلَ ذَلِكِ. The same thing at his back. People were just there. People have mentioned numbers, but Allahu A'lam with the authenticity of the number of people who were there. Some say 124,000, some say 140,000. Allahu A'lam with the authenticity of all that. He said, وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِنَا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in our midst. وَعَلَيْهِ يَنزِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Quran was being revealed to him. وَهُوَ يَعْرِفُ تَعْوِيلَهُ. And he's the one, alayhi salatu wasalam, who knew the meaning of these verses of the Quran. Mahallu shahid. He said, radiallahu anhuma, says, وَمَا عَمِلَ بِهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ عَمِلْنَا بِهِ مَا عَمِلَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ عَمِلْنَا بِهِ. Whatever he did, we did. As much as they were, front, back, front, everywhere. If he did something, alayhi salatu wasalam, عَمِلْنَا بِهِ. وَمَا عَمِلَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْعَبِيدِ. Whatever he did, we did it. So that was how the companions were. Whatever he did, they did it. That was why I was saying, they will not ask, excuse me, is this one wajib or what, we can stone in the morning? Mukhalafa to start coming from there. Lakin, وَمَا عَمِلَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْعَبِيدِ. Whatever he did, we did it. Whatever he did, we did it. So this made their iman to be a perfect iman, good, sound iman, as it should be. Iman that Allah referred to as iman. And it wouldn't have been iman without following the Prophet Muhammad and obeying him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So in these times that we are in, many of the people are far away from this. We are now in a generation where people encourage people to perform salah without putting on their caps. To wear a cap to perform salah now, people see it as they think they can do what they like. We are not saying that it is sin to perform salah without wearing a cap, but it's not in line with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Don't be surprised, even in the Arab world. This year in Mecca, we returned from Mina, and that day was a Thursday. We returned close around Zohar. We came to Mecca from Mina. So I didn't know that in the bag that I was holding, where my clothes with which I changed were in, I didn't have a cap. So and in Mecca, you just look around, you see a place to buy a cap. These caps were there. I looked around to buy a cap. Fortunately, that time, they were just about to start the solar. So somebody was telling me that, why am I disturbing myself? I should go and pray first before I come back to Baika. I told him that I don't like to pray without a cap. He's an Arab. What are you saying? He said, I don't like to pray without a cap. He said, why? I said, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered by his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjidin. When you go for salah in any of the masajid, dress properly. And I told him, وَمَا صَلَّى رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَاصِرَ الرَّأَسِ. The Prophet never prayed not wearing a cap. Do we understand? If he's ordered to dress properly to go to the masjid, and he never prayed except that he was wearing a cap, it means part of dressing properly for salah is to wear a cap. He said, وَاللَّهِ حَقٌّ. You see, these are how some of the people are. See, this is the truth. This is the truth. So his brother was asking, what was I saying? He was not telling that, who are you cool? That he was saying, who are you cool? And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, umira bittikhazi al-zina inda kulli masjidin. Wa ma salla Rasul illa bil qalam. So he was telling his brother, I was looking at them. Allahu Akbar. The two of them were not wearing capsules, but they did not deny the haqq. These are two different things. They were not wearing the caps, but they did not deny the truth. So people are far away now. Unfortunately, some of the people think that it is to do so sooner now, to do some of these things. So you are leaving the path of sunnah. Salafiyya is to attain yourself to sunnah. The time that you will not be doing the sunnah, something is wrong. Something somewhere is not making you do. And that's why we take what is reported regarding those people as the way to do something. Because that is the way of the sunnah. It's something that is complete. It's a whole system. A whole system. They never used to remove and add and remove programs. They were not like that. They saw it as a whole thing. Whenever they are not doing the sunnah, something is wrong. Maybe they have a ta'wil. Maybe they believe something. Maybe they believe that the hadith is weak. Maybe something, there is something. But people who believe that narrations are authentic, but we don't need that one. Even from the people who ascribe themselves to Sunnah and Salafiyyah. This is the picture that Sheikh Al-Albani was creating was explaining, rahimahullah, in his muqaddimah of this book, his own mukhtasar. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. I'll be reading from it, inshallah, from his own ikhtisar, from his own summary of the book. What he calls summary, rahimahullah, is something that he did. After this, I tried to get at least four. I have four nusakh copies of Shama'il Muhammadiyah. All of them depended on him. Rahimahullah. وقد ضعفه الألباني في مقتصر الشمال قد صححه الألباني في مقتصر الشمال including those who see themselves as محققون or who are considered as محققون. So when he was talking about the way people have left Sunnah, that has made him to go and make a tahqiq of this book, you know, he has a motto of تقريب السنه كو, get the Sunnah nearer to the people. That was his emblem, rahimahullah. And he himself is Imam Ahlul Sunnah. Imam, rahimahullah. Let's mention this about him. It was reported that one day he was performing the Hajj also, going between Safa and Marwa. So his gaze got on the Kaaba and he smiled and returned his face. You know, those who follow them too used to behave like the companions of Rasul. That's how they are, like the companion. You see them. One of them, I performed salah near him. Wallahi, before he started the salah, he removed, not near him, far away, side by side. He removed his tunic, he used it, he returned it, and he said, Allahu Akbar. He didn't remind me of anything except companions. So they asked him, why did you laugh that time? He said, because the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever his gaze got fixed on the Kaaba, he laughed. Hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever his gaze got on the Kaaba, he would laugh. So his own gaze got on the Kaaba, he's laughing. Look at that, laughter. Like I said, these things do not remind of any group of people except the companions. When Ali ibn Abi Talib was reporting the hadith of Rukub al-Daba, what did he say? He said, فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ سَلَامٍ. Because he was laughing, he was asked, why are you laughing? He said, when I heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he read it, he laughed. So that's why I'm laughing. And that hadith is مُسَلْسَلٌ لِمَذَا بِالضَحِكِ. That hadith is مُسَلْسَلٌ with laughter. In every chain of narration, all the reporters were laughing. So this is the level of their following the Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, while explaining this issue of taking the Sunnah with levity, saying it's not compulsory, kind of attitude, he said, إِنَّنِي لَأَرْجُو مُخْلِصًا أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. That certainly my expectation or my hope, good, I'm hoping sincerely that this book is Hadiyan lil Muslimina jami'an, is a guide for all the Muslims. Ila ta'arrufi ala ma kana alayhi nabiyyuna sallallahu alayhi. It's make them like a guide to making them know what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi was upon. Min al khulki, of character, al kareem, enviable noble character. وَمَا كَانَ مُتَحَلِّيًا بِهِ مِنَ الشَّمَائِلِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. And what he was adorning himself with, which in terms of Shama'il al-Karima, noble traits. A person will walk on the street dirty, he will say it is Sunnah. Which Sunnah? Sunnah of who? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who read it in Shama'il, reported that the Prophet had a container. There is nothing in it except itr. Perfume. He had perfumes all the time, applying it. From the things he never rejected was Laban, Wisada. In some reports, they say perfume too. Many of these attributes are from the Prophet. He would wear white, dirty white. Alayhi salatu wasalam. No, he wasn't a dirty person. Because he was the one telling us that, Inna Allah Tayyibun La Yaqbalu Illa Tayyiban. إن الله جميل يحب الجمال. عليه الصلاة والسلام is Shamail were Karima. We read them. Ali radiallahu anhu took the bath of the Prophet Muhammad when he died, his funeral bath. And he would always say that he never saw anything as handsome as the Prophet Muhammad when he was alive and in his death. In some report, he said that sometimes they used to feel that the moon was on his head. How bright he was looking, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how clean he was. So let not anybody be dirty all around. In this, one Jama'ah is known with this. Jama'ah to Tabligh are usually very dirty people. Unfortunately, they refer to those things as something. There are others too who had their own tashaddudat, thinking that it is sunnah, or tasahulat, thinking that it is sunnah. So he said this book is thinking that it will be a guide for the Muslims to know the kind of the character, the noble character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kulukul kareem wa ma kana mutahalliyan bihi min ash-shama'il al-karima. And what he was adorned with alayhi salatu wasalam in terms of noble traits. فَيَحْمِلُهُمْ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْإِهْتِدَاهِ. So that will now, as a result of that guy, it will now make them take after the guidance of the Prophet, the Hadihi, after the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَتَخَلُّكِ, and then take after the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلِكْتِبَاسِ, and then taking from his light, borrowing from his light, to make them, when they read this book, inshallah, or they hear these explanations, inshallah, to make them take after the traits, the character, the noble ways of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, "Fi zamanin, in a time that kada kathirun min al-Muslimin an yansaw qawla Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." At a time that many of the people are almost forgetting Allah saying that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَسْوَةٌ. So he's making this tahqiq so that it is a guide for us. It's a guidance for it. In a time that many of the people are already forgetting these guidance. So what people start arguing is how to wear a neck coat, how to wear a rabtatul unuq, a tie, how to quote and unquote look corporate, how to, you know, sleep in a particular manner, eat in a particular manner, eat using your left. Where should you put your spoon? Things like this. When people are busy arguing about this, things like this need to be read to the people so that they know what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was upon in terms of his noble character. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are the reasons why we have decided to read this book, Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. So we should know from the very beginning that we are not talking about wajib or no wajib. We are not talking about whether something is obligatory or not. We are not talking about whether something is makruh or haram. No. We are talking about what is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Wal aslu fi af'alihi alayhi salatu wasalam al-istihbab. The basic ruling concerning the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is that it is recommended for us. Yes, his actions could be obligatory if they explain an obligatory statement. For example, he said, "Salu kama." I used to tell the people, "Salu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Perform the salah as you have seen me perform the salah. He orders us to do that. So it is obligatory that we pray the way he prayed. Abi, alayhi salam. And it is from his sunnah, as is in the hadith of Malik ibn Khuwairis, that alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to perform jalsatul istiraha. So somebody asked me, what is the ruling of jalsatul istiraha? I say, wajib. He said, why? He said, because he said, salu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So the way you saw him pray, is the way we pray. We saw him praying jalsatul istiraha. You must pray like that. Somebody said, no, it is mustahab, say dalil. What is the dalil? That it is mustahab. Up to today, the brother has not given me the hadith that shows that it is mustahab to sit Jalsat al-Istiraha. Yeah, some people have said so. Some people have said so, it's not dalil. When you ask me what is my own dalil for saying that, it is obligatory, I say sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So some of his actions could be obligatory. That was why when Imam Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah was talking about sleeping over in Mina on Yawm Al-Tarwiyah until Yawm Al-Arafah, that ruling is bil wujub, it is obligatory. He asked me, what is dalil? It's a manasik al-hajj. Nigerians don't do it. Most Nigerians don't do it. Yarhamukallah. Kaduna, they don't do it. Lagos State, they don't even come to Mina at all. From Makkah, you find them in Arafah. Except the one, a person who will say, no, me, I won't follow you. But as a state, as a group of people, the same thing, Ogun, Oyo, all these states, many of the states, I know Kaduna last year and this year. If I didn't know any other one, I know last year, I know this year. They don't sleep over. They go from the night. In Makkah too, the same thing. They don't wait in that until the morning of Yom Tarwiyah. It is from the night they go. I know that they can want to use a fiqh that night too is the first period of the day now. That if they make taqdeem that the night comes before the day. Yes, that is the correct thing. The night comes before the day. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, did he go in the night? He said no. Did he tell you to go in the night? He said no. So he's still not done anything. Your evidence is nothing. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam must be followed. We are not talking about wajib, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So when Sheikh was talking about that sleeping over in Mina until the next day is obligatory, he said the evidence is that the Prophet said, "Kuzu anni manasikakum," take after me the rights of your Hajj, and he slept in Mina, so it's obligatory. That is evidence. So similarly, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli" is the evidence for the obligation of sitting Jum'ah for the next day. You don't have a choice that I'm no. Today I will not sit it. No, sit it all the time. Because if you ask, why are you not sitting it? Who is your predecessor in not sitting it? You will not have evidence. Who taught you how to pray? Like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah said in an incident. He did a particular thing in Salah in Makkah. He mentioned in one of his books. I can't remember one of his books. I can't remember now. He said when he did that thing, a person asked him that, which person's sunnah did you follow? He said he followed the sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He said he asked that, you which person follow sunnah? He says, I follow the sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He said when he finished, but the person was waiting for him. He asked you, this thing you have done, which person sunnah? He said, I follow the sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You, that one you are saying, is the sunnah, he says, the sunnah of Muhammad. After all, they are both Muhammad. Allah. So we should be those who take after the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. That is not to say we don't know the rulings for each of those things in their places and at their times. When the situation calls for it, we'll be making taqdeem of wujub over istihbab. We'll be making taqdeem of things that are haram over things that are makruh. In terms of not doing it, that is in a separate thing. But calling on to completely, holistically holding on to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the basic thing is not to start talking about wajib, mustahab. That is not the basic thing. Because those things themselves later only came later. The basic thing is the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It is this basis that many of the Muslims have thrown away. But sunnah, in fact, somebody will be telling you that the evidence why you have to leave something is that it is because it is sunnah. But sunnah, that is because it is sunnah, you should leave it. So we have not been told to do so. We've been told to follow the Prophet Muhammad. If we are not following it, there's a reason. There is something that's not making us to follow the sunnah. This is what will make us completely people of sunnah. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did hijama and gave the person who, what's his name? The name of the companion who did hijama to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I used to have his name in my mind. He gave him 1 dinar. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also, because he alayhi rahmatullah said there's no hadith except that he has acted upon it. There's no hadith that is from the Prophet telling us to do something or that he did something. Me, I will do it too. So once they call somebody, do me hijama. The person did him hijama, he gave him 1 dinar too. They are following sunnah. We too, we are saying that we are all sunnah. Hijama, that is cotton. Cotton. The Prophet gave 1 dinar, okay. Hey! Come and do hijama. The person did hijama, take 1 dinar. Follow sunnah. That was why when Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah was saying in the beginning of his Al-Ilal al-Saghir that there are some ahadith that we are not acted upon. Ulama did not agree at all. There's hadith they didn't act upon. Those who reported it acted upon it. That's why they reported it. There's no hadith. Unless it is not authentic, you not started giving it. Except they find that the alim thinks that the chain of narration is not authentic. Or he sees that no, there's another hadith that gives it nafkh. But that a hadith is authentic, they are not saying that it has a ta'wil, if there is no, it's not mansukh, and it's not problematic in terms of its chain of narration. He acted upon it. So, this is the basic ruling of the sunnah to be followed. That's why he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be obeyed. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No messenger has been sent except that they must be obeyed by Allah's permission. The order that they must be obeyed is an order from Allah. So, that is why we have chosen to read Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, because of these lapses with a lot of people. In terms of sunnah, taking the sunnah of levity, that is not sunnah, you know, but that's sunnah. It is sunnah, so it must be taken importance. That is what we want our impressions to go up. So very many times we will not have to be saying it's obligatory, it's not obligatory. We may not say that. If the situation demands, we say. If the situation does not demand. And that is the basic thing we'll be following, inshallah. By the mercy of Allah, next week we'll try to explain, talk about this book itself, Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, and the author of the book, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah. Kullu ma kullu hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum. If there are few questions, inshallah, I'll take them. Alaykum as-salam. There's no way he's saying that even people like Haikal Albani, we lived in the same time. We are not talking about, you know, people could be thinking about Sheikh Al-Albani that he was a companion. Don't be surprised. When we were in university, somebody said it. When we were discussing issues of veiling the face, he said it was Imam Ibn Taymiyyah that said that veiling the face is obligatory. That when Ibn Abbas came, he told him that, no, Ibn Taymiyyah, that's what I That day we shouted, Allah Akbar. Ibn Abbas came and said, hey, no. Ibn Taymiyyah, that your opinion is wrong. The face and the. We used to say, Allah. Recently, I was talking to somebody. I said, Imam Ibn Kathir. I said, don't think that Ibn Kathir is companion. Yes, you can say because he wrote tafsir. I know companions were the ones who are. This is tafsir. I don't mean, Ibn Kathir, Muhammad Ibn Ismail, is not. He's not a companion. He lived in the between 750 and 850. He's not companion. So Sheikh Al-Albani is not companion. He lived in the same time. So the brother is asking that it appears that in everything in their life, they will have one hadith on it. Yes. Two things. The first thing is their ikhlas. Look at what he said in this book. La arju mukhlifan. My expectation, sincere expectation. If you are sincere, sincerity. That sincerity must be directed towards following the Prophet Sunnah. In all your life, you see that Allah will make it easy for you. All, everything I do must be upon the Sunnah. The second advice is reading the books of Sunnah, getting busy with it. Not just for the purpose of reading it and being said to have read it. Of course, that would have been cleared by Islam. but knowing it and knowing it to put it to practice. And don't forget, one of the ways of keeping something in mind is to act upon it. If you are acting upon something, it will not go up to your mind. Once you are asked, give them the evidence. So he has so many things in his life, rahimahullah. He did not leave the sunnah. Somebody, he was in the masjid one day, rahimahullah, on the day of Jummah. Somebody came and said, Sheikh, there's one hadith saying, this is not the time for dars. This is the time for zikr and nawafil. Friday, Jummah. So he can say, Sheikh, one hadith. I know if we are the one who say, this person, I won't ask him for hadith, he's not even happy. He does not need to be happy. His own is to follow the sunnah. And you too, you can be carrying your own ignorance about. And Sheikh, one hadith say, no, this is not the time for that. This is the time for zikr. You can ask, is it wajib or something? So no, the slight thing, they will not disobey. They will not be against the sunnah. He was in a car one day, in a bus, during the hajj. What were the people shouting? Ya Satar! The boss wanted to say, Ya Satar! Ya Satar! When he came down, he was in the bus. Hey, Allah is not a Satar. Boss wants to scatter. Oh, people are just, the boss is going to stop. Ya Satar! He is not concerned about that. His concern is Mukhalafa to Sunnah there. When he came out, he said, Allah is not Satar. You know, people can say, is it Allah Satar? Is he talking? Yeah, when the boss wanted to fall, he wants to die. That you call Allah what he is not is more annoying than that your boss falls and collapses. The right of Allah is more deserving to be preserved, it's more deserving to be defended, it's more deserving to be explained. Of course, he's the one who owns you. He can decide to fall your boss and kill all of you. So, in the slightest thing, they will not oppose the sunnah. Just take a decision now, you will see that it will be possible. Make it, just decide. I will never oppose the sunnah. You will see how you will be. People will say you are strict, but don't mind them. Just know what you are doing. I'm telling you, people will say, that brother, very strict. Yes, he's strict. Don't ever oppose the sunnah. And I tell you, Allah will be expanding your breath. You things people will read, they don't understand. When you read it, you will understand it. I tell you. So those are a few advices on how to live a life of sin. Recently, there was an incident between two people. The person shook me because the incident was surprising to me. The person shook me and put his hands on his chest. So somebody saw it, that person saw it and came to me and said, is this sunnah to put your hand on your chest after shaking? I said, it's not sunnah. The person now went to that person. You hear now? When you shake somebody, don't put your hand on your chest again. Small. It looks small, like that shaking. Like this. Is this sunnah? Say it's not sunnah. He went to that person and said, you hear? It's not sunnah. Don't do it again, okay? The person said, Jazakallah khairan. So as little as those things could be, if you take care of me and I take care of you, you will see how you and I will be. Reminding, a brother, that you are doing is against the sunnah. The sunnah is like this. That will demand one thing. We have mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Reading all the time and knowing the sunnah. Because it may be that you are the one correcting somebody and he is the one upon the sunnah. So you must make sure you are reading, you are learning, and asking. To be sure, what is the sunnah here? What is the sunnah here? What is the sunnah here? You see, in every little thing, dealing with our wives, dealing with our children, dealing with people's children, in everything. You see, brothers, if we are all sincere with ourselves, you see, everybody has a thing to start trying to adjust. All of us. So we beg Almighty Allah to make it easy for us. We'll make it okay. Two questions.
Well, next week when we describe the book, will tell us what is the difference between his own copy and some of the copies you can find around. The difference are not really differences per se. They are basic differences are two. One, he removed all the assignees except the companion's name. So instead of saying Haddathana Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, Haddathana Abdullah ibn, and then up to the companion. He will not mention that. He will cut it off and mention the companion name. Just like Imam al-Nawawi did in Arba'un. You know, he told us that Qad suktuha mahzu fatal asani. I've mentioned them cutting of the asani. So he also made hurtful asani. That's the basic difference. The other difference is that he removes those ahadith that were repeated. If a hadith has come before, if it comes again, he will not mention it again. So there are very few. And then he made dabtul, he made tahqiq and dabtul alfaz. That is confirming, because most of the ahadith in this book, you either find them in Bukhari or Muslim, in Kutub al-Sunan. Generally, you still find them in other books apart from Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. So it confirms them with those that are already confirmed in those books, like that. So there are not differences that are extraordinary. When there will be, we will say it. When you find differences, inshallah, we will mention it. Inshallah. One of the things I do, before I come here, I try to look at all other nuskha. If you remember when we were reading Arba'un, if there's a difference, I'll say, in your own nuskha, in your own nuskha. I try to do that, inshallah. So we'll still be carrying us along, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Well, if they have done, like, stood up from the ruku, they could finish the salah, but with some brevity. But if they have not done that, up to the second ruku, in the ruku of the second rak'ah, the salah itself will become null. They don't need to end the salah. The salah will end once the comma is done. Because what he said is, alayhi salatu salam, is that, إِذَا أُكِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. So when the salah becomes established, no salah is valid. So that statement itself invalidates that salah. And that's why some people, you see them saying, Salam alaikum, Salam alaikum. Once they see that the comma is on, they will just start left, leave there. Because this hadith invalidates that their salah already. So if you are but nearing completion, complete it and go. That's what some of the scholars have said. Like Sheikh Jabir Jazairi in Minhaj al-Muslim. You can finish that salah if you are nearing completion. Wallahu a'lam. Alaykum as-salam. But those who go ahead to complete that salah, this muscle, perhaps they have studied, and the first rak'ah, it's common. In fact, in the masjid where I pray, a brother, many times, not once, the salah has started before he came in. He will first of all do rak'ah al-fajr before he joins the salah. One day I told him, I said, what you are doing is wrong. That your rak'ah al-fajr, you are wasting it, and you are missing the salah. I said, who told you to do that? He said, he just asked one scholar, the person just said, he's doing that. I said, now change it. You know, I said, am I giving him fatwa now to change? I said, yes, I change it. Don't do that again. Say, inshallah. I know the day somebody will ask him again, this one, you know, he said, one balan gave me fatwa. But alhamdulillah, he has changed. Because I've observed him since after that day. I've not seen him doing that again. But that kind of a nafil is invalid. Alaykum as-salam. What invalidates is that hadith that we have read. The last extension. There is no evidence for it. There is no evidence that if you are not taking me, because maybe you are Yalam Lam or that Al-Irq or Juhfa, that you have to make la. No evidence. And that you make in Dhul Hulayfa is conditioned with, because the Prophet said that he is in Wad Mubarak, so he should make two rakah. It means he's making the two rakah, is connected to the Wad. Okay, if you are not in the Wad, anybody who says it is connected to the Miqat and to wearing Ihram, evidence, hadith. Allahu A'lam. We'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.